guys. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Planetarium. My name is Nick. How's everyone doing today? Fantastic. Can everyone hear me okay? All right. Well, welcome to the show. Our show for you today is called Under Scorching Skies, where I'll point out some things that you could see in the sky tonight, and I'll also teach you some tricks that you could use from your own backyard. And before we get the show started, there's one thing. If you have anything that makes light or sound, if you could please keep those things put away, as it's going to get very dark in here, and we want to keep our eyes as best adapted to the dark as we can, so we can see as many stars as we can. So that's the one thing to keep in mind. Also, throughout the show, I'll probably ask you several questions, and feel free and participate as much as you'd like. If you want to take a guess or even know the answer, just shout it right out. Don't even bother raising your hand, because it's going to be so dark, I'm not going to be able to see your hand. So this is your one chance to just yell things out nice and loud, and have some fun. To start, let's fade the sun down and make a sunset. You might notice it over on your left. And as the sun sets, some of the brightest stars are going to come out first, maybe even a couple planets we'll talk about in the show today. And if you recognize anything, let me know. Maybe some star patterns that you've seen before that you see just in a few seconds. The Big Dipper. Any others? Little Dipper. The Milky Way. We'll definitely get to that. All right. Well, I've heard a lot of good suggestions, and I heard several people say the Big Dipper. So let's start there. And in fact, it's one of the easiest places to start, and it can be very helpful and useful to help us find other things in the sky as well. So let's start there. And throughout the show today, I'm going to use a red laser pointer to kind of help point things out to you all. And so to start, I want you all to help me to find the Big Dipper. Is the Big Dipper in this area, yes or no? No. How about over here? No. Yes, the Milky Way is over there, which we'll get to that, definitely. How about this? Yes. And it's very easy to spot because it has seven pretty bright stars that if you connected all the dots would kind of make a big soup spoon, or what we call a Big Dipper, in the sky. Now this pattern of stars is can point us to a very important and useful star in the sky that can help us find our directions. I heard someone say it, the North Star. And does anyone know there's another name for it? Polaris. Boy, you guys are good. And does anyone know the trick to find the North Star? And two stars in the Big Dipper and follow it up. You are right. We're going to use these two stars right here. And we like to call those the pointer stars. And if we draw a line through them, up and kind of out of the cup, that points us straight to Polaris, the North Star. Now, what makes Polaris so unique? It always stays there. It appears to never move, because it is the star that appears directly above Earth's North Pole. So as the Earth rotates on its axis and makes night and day, and all the stars appear to rise in the east and set in the west, just like the sun, Polaris, for the most part, never moves. Since it always stays in one place, it can always point us north. And once we know which way is north, we can figure out our other directions. So before we go any further today, let's quick review our directions. So if we have Polaris right here, this way is north, which direction is to our right? East, to our left is west, and behind you is, one more, south. So now we're oriented a little bit. Hopefully we'll never get lost, as long as it doesn't get cloudy. Let's continue to look for some cool stuff around the North Star. Now the North Star is in a star pattern of its own, which is similar to the Big Dipper except smaller. And that is a Little Dipper or Ursa Minor, right? And we have the Little Dipper's handle kind of curving. We started the North Star, kind of curves around, and then we have four stars that make up the cup. Now these two patterns of stars aren't official constellations. Does anyone know the official constellations in this area? They're two animals. Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, also known as, I think I heard it, the Big Bear for these bears. And to start, to kind of paint a picture of where we're going to look, I'm going to pull up a map of all the constellations at once. Does anyone want to take a guess, before I do, how many constellations are in the whole entire sky? 62. Higher than 12, higher than 62. Maybe someone... Close! There's 88 official constellations, and here are a lot of them up at once. And there's even more below us, but we can't see those from here in the Northern Hemisphere. We'd have to go to South America or Australia to see the rest of them. And notice, these are just the lines connected between the stars, kind of like connect the dots. But the constellations are also the areas of the sky as well. Kind of like a big jigsaw puzzle up in the sky. And this is to help astronomers know where to look. So if we go back up to our Big Dipper and Ursa Major, you'll notice there's a whole lot more space around the Big Dipper that we can use to look for our Big Bear. So keep this area in mind. And to start, we're going to start at the tip of the handle of the Big Dipper, and this is going to be the bear's tail. Travel up the bear's tail, and we're going to stop at this star right here. Now the next three are going to be the bear's back. One, two, three. Here is the bear's head, up in front, and right there is the tip of its nose. We have a stomach, front leg, some claws at the end. Here's the belly, these three stars, and we have another leg, its back leg, and some more stars right there. And with a little bit of imagination, the Big Bear might look something like this. Now to find our Little Bear, let's use our pointer stars, get us back to Polaris, and we're going to imagine Polaris as the tip of the tail of the Little Bear. So the Little Bear's tail, curving around, and then we have a back leg, body, front leg, and its head's kind of upside here. It's kind of upside down right now. What looks a little bit unusual about these two bears? Well, their tails, they're really long. In fact, the Little Bear almost kind of looks like a big squirrel in the sky, doesn't it? And so you might take a little bit of imagination when you're out under the stars to imagine some of these pictures, because some of the stories that people told, some of the people may not ever have actually seen a real bear. So this is what they imagined a bear to look like. And a lot of the constellations might be a little bit tricky to see. So don't get discouraged. You can still have fun and try and make up some of your own. That can be sometimes even more fun. And if you tell enough of your friends, maybe we'll be telling your stories in planetariums in the future. So while we're up here, I want to point out two more constellations up here in the north. And we're going to get there again using our Big Dipper pointer stars. And when we draw our line, instead of stopping, we're going to keep going until we hit kind of a W-shaped pattern in the sky. This is a person of royalty, someone who might sit on a throne. What kind of person might sit on a throne? A king or a queen? And I heard Cassiopeia. Cassiopeia is our queen that is going to sit on the throne. So if we can imagine that W as the throne she is sitting in. Now next to Cassiopeia, we have someone who might go along with the king. Excuse me, I gave it away. The king is right next to our queen. If we look to his name is Cepheus. And to see Cepheus, it's easiest to spot kind of a stick figure house of a triangle of three stars making the roof of our house on top of a square of four. Kind of looks like a stick figure house. That is Cepheus. With his shoulders up here, his feet down here, and his head is kind of up in here. And now Cepheus, along with Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, and Cassiopeia, are four constellations that we call circumpolar, which means they always are circling the pole, and they're up all the time. They're up during all the night, even up during the day, since the sun's so bright we can't see them, and they're up all year. So we can be confident from here in Michigan that if we go outside tonight, or any night during the year, we'll be able to have the opportunity to spot these four constellations since they never set. Now all the rest of the constellations that we see in the sky are what we call seasonal. They're only up during certain seasons, and there's even some, like I mentioned earlier, that we can't even see here from Michigan. We'd have to travel to the southern hemisphere to see those. So next up in our show, I want to show you some of the seasonal constellations. In order to get the best look at them, we're going to pretend we're picking up our chairs and turning them 180 degrees the other way. If you're getting a little dizzy, don't worry, it's going to stop soon. And some of you might be a little bit disoriented, a little turned around. I know I am a little bit. So let's quick review our directions before we go any further. If in the front was north before, which direction is in the front now? South. To our right is west. To our left is east. And behind you is north. All right. Our next stop is one of a spring constellation that we can still see in the sky since we're just getting into summer. There's still a lot of cool spring things we can see in the sky. And we're going to use our Big Dipper again to get us there. So now you might have to look a little bit further back in the sky to see it. It's right over here. And instead of using our pointer stars like we have been so far, we're going to use the handle. And there's a pretty neat trick, a cool saying that we can remember to help us get us to our next destination, and that is to arc to arc arcturus. So we're going to arc along the handle and arc to the star Arcturus. That red star right there, it's a very large star, much, much bigger than our own star, the Sun. And it's in the constellation of Bootes, the herdsman, which is in this area of the sky. It might be kind of hard to imagine a herdsman up in the sky. But one thing I like to look for instead is an ice cream cone. Since it's a little bit warmer outside, something pretty fun to find is the ice cream cone. So if we can imagine Arcturus is the bottom tip of our ice cream cone, we have a triangle of three stars that makes up our cone, and then scooped on top is a pentagon of five stars of our favorite flavor of ice cream. And if we're really hungry, we might even put two scoops up. There's our ice cream cone. This is a kite. We can imagine those five stars as our kite, and then trailing down to Arcturus is the tail of our kite. Our next destination is a star called Spica. So once we've made it to Arcturus, we're going to make a sharp turn and go pretty hard left. Go down to Spica, which is a very bright star in the constellation of Virgo. And you might notice a red object next to it. That is the planet Mars. Does anyone want to take a trip to Mars? Want to take a spaceship ride to Mars? All right. Hang on to your seats. Here we go. Now, in order to get there, by the time our show's over for today, we're going to have to go faster than the speed of light. So I hope that's okay with everyone. So a normal trip to Mars would take over 6 months in the normal spaceship. Now, Mars is a very interesting place for scientists. In fact, we've sent many, many spacecraft and rovers to Mars to check things out. In fact, there's several driving around its surface right this second. And one of the reasons is that on Mars, we found evidence that it used to be covered in water. There's evidence of old dried-up riverbeds and deltas and canyons and a whole lot of interesting features on Mars. And if we pretend that Mars was still covered in water, it might look a little bit like this. And the button for that is miraculously disappeared, so I'm sorry, we won't be able to check out Mars with water. But there's a couple other things on Mars that are very, very unique, and that is that Mars has an enormous canyon on its surface, one that is much, much, much larger than Earth's largest canyon, which is the Grand Canyon. Earth's Grand Canyon is only a couple hundred miles across, or long, and only stretches partway across Arizona. there's a canyon on Mars called Valles Marineris, which is coming into view right now, which would stretch all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean if we overlaid it onto Earth. In fact, we could fit several Mount Everest inside of it, stacked on top of each other. That's how deep the canyon is. And also, there's some giant volcanoes. There's three of them in a row, and here's an enormous one, in fact, the largest volcano in the entire solar system, called Olympus Mons. It's a shield volcano, similar to the type that make up the Hawaiian Islands, and you could easily stack three Mount Everest on top of each other, and Olympus Mons would still be taller. One last cool thing about Mars, before we continue on with our show, is that it has two moons. Earth only has one moon, Mars has two, but they're much, much smaller than our own moon. One of them is Phobos, and the other one is called Deimos, over here on your right. Now, these are captured asteroids from the nearby asteroid belt, and so Mars stole its moons. There's another planet that we can see in the sky tonight, and that is the planet Saturn. And since we're all already out here by Mars, let's keep on flying over to Saturn. Saturn is the planet most famous for its rings, and it's a little bit different type of planet than Mars. Mars is a rocky planet, but Saturn is a gas giant. It's closer, look at all those moons around it. Saturn has over 60 moons all going around it, and a couple of those I'd like to show you are very, very interesting places for scientists and some spacecraft headed there. One of them is called Enceladus, and it is covered in ice. In fact, you can see some of the cracks in the ice, and below the ice, scientists think there is a liquid water ocean. It's a very, very interesting place that scientists love to get a closer peek. Another moon around Saturn, I'd like to point out, is called Mimas. And it looks a little bit like the Death Star from Star Wars, doesn't it? If anyone's ever seen that. It has an enormous crater on its surface. A huge crater. In fact, it's a very mysterious object because you'd think that it would have broken apart if something that big hit it. Those are pretty cool moons around Saturn. And most beautiful, I think, are its rings, which look solid from here. But let's get a closer look at its rings and see what they're really made of. Billions of particles of ice and rock. Some of them the size of your pinky, all the way up to the size of your house, all floating around Saturn, making up its rings. And what holds these rings in place are the gravity tug-of-war between Saturn and all of its over 60 moons. If you had a bathtub large enough, because Saturn has such a low density, because it's made of hydrogen and helium, Saturn would float. So let's get back to Earth. Time has gone on since we've been gone, so now it's almost 4 a.m. And by now, the constellations have moved throughout the sky. Our constellations have gotten higher that were in the east. And so high above us right now are some of our very prominent summer constellations. We just passed the summer solstice. If we look straight up in the air, we might notice three bright stars, and if you connected the dots between them, would all form a triangle, which we call the Summer Triangle. There are actually three separate constellations, two birds and a harp. Kind of an unusual combination of objects. Let's kind of explore each one here as we go. Let's go to the brightest one, which is going to be this one right here. Its name is Vega. It's a pretty small constellation called Lyra, and it is our harp. Only has a few stars, these two and these two, and if you can imagine some strings going between the two to make up our harp, that will get us Lyra. Our second star in our summer triangle is called Deneb, and that's this one over here. It means tail of the big bird, and in fact this constellation right here is a big bird called Cygnus the Swan, and it's appearing to fly over us right now, so we're kind of looking at it from below. If we can imagine, this is the tail. Travel up the tail, we have a wing going out in this direction, a wing over here, and its long neck here with its beak at the very end. That will give us Cygnus. And it's also known as the Northern Cross. The third and final star in our summer triangle is this one over here, and its name is Altair. And it's in the constellation of Aquila the Eagle, which is also a bird. And we can imagine Altair as kind of the body of the bird. We have some wings outstretched in either direction. And down below we have its tail and a couple claws down there too. There's a couple other summer constellations. They're pretty neat to check out. And to see these, instead of looking high in the sky, we're going to look pretty much straight south, kind of low along the horizon. And what I'd like to point out is down here. Its name is Sagittarius the Archer. And it might be a little bit hard to try and find an archer out of all these stars, or kind of even know what an archer might look like. But one thing I like to look for is a teapot. Now to see our teapot, we're going to concentrate on this group of stars, and we're going to start at this one right here. This is going to be our lid, three stars. Here's our curved handle, kind of looking at the teapot from side on. Here's the base. Here's our spout. And back to our top. And if you tip me over and pour me out, and I'll spare you my singing of the song, it might look like some steam is coming out right here. Does anyone know what our steam is? The Milky Way. And it's something that we can only see from out in the countryside. So if you really want to see the Milky Way, get as far away from city lights as you can. The further away you get, the better. And it's our own galaxy that we are a part of. Our own galaxy has several hundred billion stars just by itself. And we've discovered hundreds of billions of other galaxies outside of our own in the universe as well. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a sense of scale of how huge the universe is. It's almost beyond comprehension. It's enormous. And to end the show today, I'd like to zoom out a little bit outside of our Milky Way to kind of give you an idea of what it looks like. Since we're inside of it right now, standing on planet Earth, it's a little bit hard to see what it looks like. So let's zoom outwards. away from the sun, away from the earth, and watch as all the stars fly by. As we get further and further out, see if you can tell what kind of shape the Milky Way is. It is a spiral. And there's a couple of different types of galaxies out there, and we call ours a spiral galaxy. And all the stars I've talked to you about today in the show that you can see from in the night sky only are about that far away. So all those thousands of stars that we could see from out in the countryside all over the sky, you're only seeing stars about that far away. That band we see arcing overhead from the countryside is when we're looking in towards all these other hundreds of billions of stars that are all so far away that all we can see is its combined glow hitting our eyeballs. Now if you look back and pretty high here, you might notice another object. This is one of the closest other large galaxies to our own, and its name is the Andromeda Galaxy. In fact, these two are on a collision course with each other, and if you billions of years, they'll run into each other. We won't have much to worry about because since there's so much empty space in galaxies, the stars will pass through each other and by each other without anything hitting. This object, which you can see in the fall sky, even with your unaided eye from a dark country sky, is the furthest thing you find Andromeda, which is over 2.5 million light years away. So when you look at that in the sky, you're looking back in time 2.5 million years. To end the show, I want to leave you with a little bit of an example or a little bit of a way to kind of think of how big the universe is. So let's imagine we went to the beach, our favorite beach on Lake Michigan, and we picked up a handful of sand, and we counted all the grains of sand in our hand. There would be a lot of sand grains in our hand. When we were on a roll, we kept counting. We counted all the grains of sand on the whole entire beach. Added them all together. All the grains of sand on all the Great Lakes beaches. Added them all together. And all the beaches on the entire Earth. Every single grain of sand. There would still be more stars that we know of up to this point out in the universe than all the grains of sand on the entire Earth. Blows my mind. And hopefully it gives you a little bit of idea of how huge the universe is and how much things are out there, and we're still discovering more and more all the time. So we've reached the end of the show today, and the sun is going to rise here in a little bit. But as it does, I'd like to show you one final thing you can see in the sky if you stay up late enough or wake up really early, and that is the planet Venus, which you can see tonight before sunrise. So if you look east, you notice a very bright object coming up. So right over here is the planet Venus. If you'd like to take a peek through a telescope or check out some of the cool things that you can see in the night sky, there's a couple places around Grand Rapids you can visit. The first is the Veen Observatory in Lowell, which is run by the Grand Rapids Amateur Astronomical Association, one of our partners here at the museum. And they have public nights throughout the year where you can get under some dark country skies and check out some cool things through a telescope. You can see Saturn's rings, and a lot of neat objects out there in space. And I have some flyers up here if anyone would like any on your way out. Also, you can visit the Calvin College Observatory. They have a telescope on the roof of their science building that is open on Wednesday nights throughout the summer. All this is weather-dependent, of course. And I'd like to thank you for coming to the show today. As your eyes adjust back to the brightness, make sure nothing has slipped out of your pockets and you have all your belongings. Hopefully you all can get a chance to check out the night sky and use some of these tricks to help find your way around the stars right in your own backyard. So with that, thank you all for coming. Exit through the doors on your right, and if you have any last questions, I'll be up here happy to chat and answer any of those that you may have. Thanks, and have a wonderful rest of your day here at the museum. Thank you.